The Environmental Protection Agency is investigating scores of suspected cases of large-scale illegal peat extraction across 9 counties. The Irish Independent's environment correspondent Caroline O'Doherty is reporting that 350 tonnes of peat were exported last year, that despite there being a ban on the commercial sale of peat for solid fuel heating. And Caroline, who's writing extensively on this morning in the Irish Independent, is on the line. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
Peat extraction was targeted for phase out, both on public health and on environmental grounds. So can you remind us, first of all, about the current restrictions around peat extraction, the regulations that are there?
Yeah, well, it's a real patchwork of regulations because for decades we basically had no regulation, and that was with the state's consent. The state didn't seek to regulate peat extraction. So we've had all sizes and shapes of peat extraction. At the minute, if you have the largest kind of sites over 50 hectares, you're supposed to have an EPA license, Environmental Protection Agency Pollution Control License. Smaller than that, under 30 hectares or up to 30 hectares, you're supposed to have planning permission. And pretty much anything up to 30 hectares, you're supposed to have planning permission too, or at very least an environmental assessment to see if you would need planning permission, and most would. Now, that's apart from the very small sort of the field out the back that a family uses. They take turf for their own use. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about commercial large-scale peat extraction on many, many hectares.
And I see one of the quotes in your article this morning is that the scale of that peat extraction is gobsmacking.
That's right. You know, last year, 351,000 tonnes of peat was exported. And that's a value of 39 million, is the Central Statistics Office put the value on that. And that's just milled peat. So that's peat that's sent off for horticultural use, for peat moss, for the mushroom industry. You know, there's also sod turf being sold. It's not supposed to be. There's a nationwide ban on smoky fuels. But if you go online, you can still find online ads for large bags and truckloads of turf for sale for the fire. So that's happening too. There is an attempt since for about 10 years up to 2019, environmental groups challenged the state on this and said this activity has to be regulated. Actually, it has to be phased out. It has to end, but at least let's start regulating it. And eventually the court sided with them and said, yes, regulations must apply. And this was this kind of very much a patchwork system of rules came in.
Yeah, so we have the regulation, Caroline, since 2019. Yet, how can you bring heavy machinery? And it does require heavy machinery to do the sort of commercial activity you're talking about. How do you do that and not be seen?
You are seen as some of the files that we've published today, and they were released to the Right to Know organisation under Access to Information regulations. They very clearly show, one of them actually shows stacks of peat, you know, piled up beside a public road. So obviously it can be seen. The situation is, though, if you're a landowner and you've been extracting peat, it's now up to you to go and seek either planning permission or environmental assessment or an EPA license. And if you don't do that, then it's up to those agencies to come after you. And that's where this has kind of fallen down, because it's notoriously difficult, A, to actually gather the information. These files that we have today that Right to Know sought, they show that the EPA has been sending out inspectors on foot out to sites, also taking drone footage, aerial footage, pictures, aerial mapping and all of that to start gathering the information, just trying to find that A, establish, is peat extraction going on, and B, what scale is it going on at? And once they get that information together, what the EPA say to me is that they have several very large sites that they'll be looking at directly. Quite most of the sites will actually come under the responsibility of the local authority planning offices to go out and enforce. So they've 38 sites in particular where they have very strong information on, and they've passed that intelligence on to 7 local authorities and told them, here's all the files, go after them.
So I suppose just 2 questions here. First of all, is there a will to go after them, as you put it, and bring prosecutions? And could the game changer here in the gathering of evidence be the use of that drone footage?
It's certainly very compelling because you can't deny that it exists. One of the technical issues, though, is that you may have a lot of different sites that are adjacent to each other. They may all be operated by probably one and the same, or certainly associated operators, who then may be able to claim that, no, we're separate, so therefore we're small, so therefore we don't automatically come under the need for a license or automatically come under the need for planning permission. Mm. So there have been a handful of prosecutions and enforcement actions taken, and they're very slow and very long and easily challenged. So, you know, this is the start of something. The EPA has said that they, by the end of this month, they want to know the enforcement plans that they, those particular seven local authorities are putting in place to go after the activities in their areas. So that's the start of something. There certainly is a sense of urgency about this, not just because it's all there are laws in place and rules in place that are obviously being violated, but also because, as you say, the overall policy now is just to stop extraction on peat lands. We're going to have the nature restoration law coming into place, and really this has to end for environmental reasons, for public health reasons.
Have you had an opportunity to check what the penalties involved are for people who may be brought and prosecuted here?
Because it's quite an untested area, you know, if the for the worst environmental violations, in theory, fines could go into their millions. Now, there's a, one or two cases in this country where it's ever gone that high. In reality, most environmental infringements, you're talking, you know, in single-digit thousands is the fines. So, you know, and it could go anywhere in between. If it's a planning enforcement issue, it's really hard to judge. Oftentimes, the end goal is just stopping the unauthorised activity rather than imposing a fine. So it's really untested. But the few cases that there have been, it's single-digit thousands.
And you're indicating, I think, Caroline, that, that we've had very few prosecutions so far. But, you know, could we see a lot of these in the future? But how long is it going to take?
It could take a very long time if they were to go after each one of those files, you know, individually. I think the hope is that when an enforcement action is started and commenced against an operator, that that will have the chilling effect. You know, there's a lot of contractors on these sites, you know, with very expensive machinery who may not actually own the site. And I think they're hoping that the agencies are kind of hoping that they just might pull out and say, I can find other other work to be doing with my excavators and JCBs.
More to play out on this one. Caroline, thank you very much. Caroline O'Doherty, there, environment correspondent with the Irish Independent.